Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Doing that, I was face to face with it. It was holding me by my throat, and it felt like it was sucking something out of me.
I probably should have been more scared than I was when I witnessed the exorcism.
I turned and looked on my right side. When I did, there's a beam on the side of the tree, a large beam. It's looking at me, and I'm looking at it.
After I hit the lock button and looked back up, I saw red eyes staring back at me.
That they're going to show multiple gods all over the earth, be able to speak in people's languages, and at that point, it kind of converge into this one entity, which will be revealed as extraterrestrial. You'll realize that aliens are the gods of old, and at that point, it'll wipe religion out of the context of humanity.
No way, it couldn't have been a person, I know that. I know that people can't run through the woods like that.
So this thing comes into view, and I see it. It's 50 yards away from me. It's walking. It's walking on two legs. It's huge. This is a big, hairy-looking being.
Welcome. I'm your host. This is uncomfortable.
Welcome back to the show, my friends. I am your host, Eric Szilagyi. If you've had an uncomfortable experience and you'd like to share it here on the show, please get a hold of me at contact.uncomfortable@gmail.com. The world wants to hear your experience. They want to hear your story. So reach out to me and let's get yours on the next episode of Uncomfortable. If you haven't yet, make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, both at Uncomfortable Podcast 65. And when you do, please make sure to leave us a 5-star rating and review. That alone is the one most important thing that you can do as a listener to help get the show out into the algorithm and out in front of more people. With more people listening, that means more great stories coming your way. Have you had a chance to check out the Uncomfortable link tree? It's the single best place that you can find anything and everything uncomfortable all in one spot. All of my uncomfortable episodes, links to the YouTube, links to the Penford Media documentary series that I'm featured in, and all the other podcasts that I've had the pleasure of being a guest on, that's linktree.com/uncomfortable1, and uncomfortable is spelled like the logo looks with the lowercase u and the uppercase n. That's also probably the easiest way to find the Eventbrite link for tickets to Bigfoot and Brews and Spirits 2. Tickets are on sale now. Make sure you snag yourself a pair. And this year's event is headlined by Amy Boo from the Olympic Project and Project Zoo Book, Scott Tompkins, the creator of the Bigfoot Mapping Project, John Hickenbottom, he is the Salt Fork State Park naturalist, and the paranormal side of things will be rounding out the day with the Archbishop Christina Rake. But to start the day, journalist and speaker Chitan Nuar will be opening things up with a factual account of the Dewey Lake Monster sightings from back in 1964. If you haven't yet, make sure you get your tickets. That's going to be the best Bigfoot and Brews we've had yet. Also, we're getting ready to launch the online store for purchase of Bigfoot and Brew's newest designed t-shirts. Those who decide to order online will have a significantly bigger option as far as colors and placement of the logo. It will be available down the center of the back of the shirt, also with a variation of it down the left chest and torso. The shirts will be imprinted with the Uncomfortable logo on the sleeve. And as I said, online orders in advance do not need to be shipped. They can be placed when prompted, simply say pick up, and I will have those on hand for you the day of the event. If you want them shipped to you, that's fine. But if you want to avoid the shipping cost, you will be able to select pickup, and I will have those for you at the event. Look for an announcement next week for that store to open up. If you choose to wait until the event, there's going to be much less as far as choices in color and sizes. So my suggestion is, if you want one, take advantage of the online store, and I will have it for you the day of the event. Completely new design, completely new logo. I'm psyched about it. It looks great. I'm very excited for you guys to see it. Quite frankly, I think it looks badass. So we'll get to that coming up here pretty quick. I'm probably going to release that. There may even be a link in the show notes for this episode, depending on when it airs. Don't forget to check out the combo ticket for the September 14th day of event and the VIP dinner the night before. The combo ticket is a discounted price from the regular tickets and still includes your dinner and a drink. These tickets are going fast, so if you have any interest in spending a couple of hours with all of the speakers and myself, there are limited tickets for the VIP available. Make sure you go check out our sponsor at eufyofficial.com/videolock to see what all the fuss is about there. You'll hear the ad for that later on in the show. Links to our Patreon, YouTube, and Bigfoot and Brews and Spirits 2 and all things Uncomfortable would be found on the link tree. That is in the listed notes for you of this show. As far as Bigfoot and Brews is concerned, we are looking to fill out our Maker's Market. That will be running in conjunction with the event. So if you're interested in a vendor opportunity, please make sure you get a hold of us at contact.uncomfortable@gmail.com. There will be a linked video in the show notes to tell you a little bit more about that opportunity. Also, we are looking for sponsors for Bigfoot and Brews and Spirits too. There's a good deal of cost that goes into putting on these types of events. And if you would like to help the event financially, we would very much like to hear from you. Again, reach out to me at contact.uncomfortable@gmail.com for more information on that. Tonight's guest is responsible in large part, for my episode that I had with Todd Standing in, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 shows ago. Logan is with us again. I aired his episode the day before or the week before the Todd Standing show, just to kind of get you guys primed for it. Logan facilitated the introduction and did a lot of the legwork with getting that interview set up for me. So, I know I speak for not only myself, but a lot of my listeners. Logan, thank you. Thank you very much for the efforts that you put into that. That was one of the finest discussions. I said this earlier before we started recording, and it's not an egotistical comment on my part, but I believe that that was one of the finest conversations I'd seen Mr. Standing take part in. He talked about a lot of things that he doesn't often talk about, if ever, in any other interviews that I've seen. Logan is here tonight to discuss a project that he has in the works, and it sounds like, from what I'm to understand, will be coming out to the light of day to you guys in the very near future. So, if you're ready, let's get into it. If you will, please welcome once again, Mr. Logan Chesow. Logan, welcome back to Uncomfortable.
Good to be here, Eric.
Glad to have you back, my friend. It's been some time since we've talked on air. We've had a litany of email exchanges over the past 6, 8, 9 months with you and your efforts of getting Mr. Standing to get with me and do that episode. And again, I have to say thank you very much, because that was I don't have many many names on a list, a bucket list, but he was a great interview. I enjoyed speaking with him.
Yeah, for sure. And in the meantime, I've listened to all your podcasts in between, so I'm up to date.
Well, I appreciate that too. So not only are you a guest, but you're an avid listener as well. And it doesn't get much better than that from my standpoint.
You do great work. I really like the way you do your work. It's really good. So I love to listen to it when I go on my walks, and you got a great voice for it. So
well, I appreciate
great,
that.
Voice is great. Shows are great.
I appreciate that. That's very humbling. I never get tired of hearing it. It's not an ego thing. Like I said before, it's at least it lets me know that what I'm doing is getting to the right ears, and I'm going in a direction that a lot of people approve of. So I do appreciate hearing those things. Logan, you we spent a little time before we started recording here, and you've got a pretty interesting project coming up here that a lot of the listeners may end up being pretty interested in.
Yep. I'll just try to get into a little bit, kind of where it started and where it is right now, and what I'm fixing to release hopefully in the next few weeks here. So, I'd say I'm more of in Todd Standing's kind of collaboration, even though it's not like an official like BFRO kind of group, right? But, you know, when the expeditioners go out there, you kind of turn into a little small family collaboration almost, right? So
sure.
I hit up a lot of people out there. I talk to Todd periodically. It's a good group, and you know, whether you love Todd or hate him, you know, I've had my own experiences out in his radium area, and you know, based off what I can see and what I know, like I can't find any illegitimate activity out there from my perspective. So everyone has their own opinion of Todd, but my opinion is he's a straight shooter. That's just me. So anyone that disagrees with me, that's not a problem. But that being said, I've been out to Radium 3 times, and my last experience out there was really thrilling. And I think about it constantly because, you know, I'm laying out there and this Bigfoot comes up on me and walks right behind me when I'm sleeping at 5 a.m. in the morning. And I roll over and I hear it jump behind me, and it's, again, I was too much adrenaline to actually look in that direction. I really wanted to, but that being said, having a conversation post that with Todd was like, you know, we should really, I know everybody says the cameras drive them away and that's like the Bigfoot stigma, but they come out here for us and they're coming to the trailer like pretty much every expedition. They're hanging around, they're coming in, they're doing stuff. So, I mean, I think we should put cameras up. And I said, yeah, I think that's a good idea. Like I'd put some money towards that if you wanted to do it. Like I kind of believe in that idea. And then, a month passes and I call him like, you know, let me think through how we could do this and make it more efficient. Anybody can put a camera up. You know, everyone has cameras. Everyone has Ring cameras. It's not that hard. But it's about the data and actually being able to collect it accurately and have a infrastructure that's going to be sufficient, especially out in the middle of nowhere, right? So I kind of had that project in the back of my head. And I was like, so I basically what I come up with is around November, December, I said, you know, let's build something that everyone can utilize. even the people that can't go up to Canada, can't go to the mountains, maybe they have a disability, maybe they just have the income, finances, or, you know, maybe they just don't want to fly, right? It could be a number of things, right? But everybody, I know so many people that are into Bigfoot, but they don't get out in the woods. So I really wanted to bring that to people. And I also think, you know, if we do capture some kind of footage, you know, I want people to know it's legitimate. I know Todd's stuff, in my opinion, is legitimate, but this is going to be coming like a collaboration between me and Todd. So I can tell you, like, I'm all about the discovery of Bigfoot. I don't care if I filmed a Bigfoot, like, I would do it just because I want it out there. I want people to know it's real, just based on my own experiences, based on my interest in it. Like, I just love this stuff. That's all I do, is listen and research about Bigfoot all the time when I'm not working or with my family. So I decided to really dive into this and figure out how we can implement this solution, make it effective, and be able to actually capture a Bigfoot. As I listen to a ton of people, like I said, I listen to a lot of people talk Bigfoot, you know, and they either, you know, they're wearing a body camera that lasts 20 minutes, you know, it's just not really sufficient. So what I basically conformed out all of this is I did tons of research on how we can do this. And I come up with, okay, I'm going to build the infrastructure. I'm going to, you know, work with Todd and get the power out there in this remote area, like what it takes to run this equipment. And I'm going to really try to make it like stream to a backend to where it collects everything 24/7, 365 days a week, in theory. I don't, some of the like bitter cold in those mountains, when I get up there, I'm really going to have to insulate to these cameras, but they're supposed to be negative 20, but I know it gets to negative 30 up there. Yeah. So I'm gonna have to insulate these. They actually have heaters on them too.
On so the camera.
They're pretty, yeah. On the actual inside the chassis of the camera, actually has a heating system. So you can turn heating systems on these cameras. These cameras are, I'm starting with two cameras, and I'm gonna call them North and South. So I have these cameras. I've been basically tweaking these things and setting the settings for the last 6 months, getting them to the point where they're ready. But they're awesome cameras. They can go up to 4K, 60 frames a second. I mean, they're legitimate. They're actually a pan, tilt, zoom. I can spin them around. I can go up and down any direction with these cameras. But and they're night vision, and they have, I think, a 200-foot zoom, something like that.
Do they have auto pan and zoom? So, like, if something were to walk in front of the camera, is it going to pick it up and follow it?
I could do that, and I thought through it, and I don't want to start with that at first, just because there's going to be a lot of expeditioners out there, and I don't want it to follow them around. I want it to be stable. I think in the off season, winter, I'll enable it to actually follow things. But like summertime, I just don't want it to just follow people walking back and forth, right? It'll just be like an annoyance to people too. Because not everybody just wants a camera following them. They're out there for an experience. They're not out there to be filmed 24/7. So it does have a lot of features to it that are like, follow, it has facial recognition, it has everything as far as some of those things. But again, I want to start with really just getting it out there, getting it going, and getting it available to people to use. And then we can get more into the functionality of maybe we should turn on some of these features, right? So I really just want to start simple and then grow. So that being said, I've done all the research. I've built a backend architecture because I'm an engineer. I've been in IT for 20 years. So I have a mentality is, you know, I can do anything. So I was like, I'm going to do this. So I built over the last 6 months, built about backend architecture. I built everything to do with this. I basically got it ready to release. So it's going to be built into an app. We're going to call the app Discovering Bigfoot. It's going to be on Android and iOS. So basically, you can log into the app. It's going to have some stuff about like the Discovering Bigfoot collaboration and like kind of what they do out there and stuff like that. Just like normal stuff. There'll be like news and like stuff about the expeditions and like, you know, just stuff people want to read. I know Todd has a big discoveringbigfoot.org website, but I mean, it's a little old. I don't know who takes care of that really. I'm just trying to do something more modern. And I know everyone likes would rather open an app than go to a web page these days. So right. I'm trying to make it available to everybody. But basically what it is it's going to be able to stream a live stream, I guess. And I've never actually, I probably should have, but I've never actually dug into some of these other apps. I'm really super hyper-focused on what I'm doing. I know there's like Eagle Cams and stuff like that. And I'm pretty sure they're pretty simplistic. I know they're probably some kind of paywall for those Eagle Cams and stuff like that. But I mean, what I'm doing is, I'd say similar to that, but it's going to be, it's going to have, you know, day and night vision. It's going to be really good quality film. It's going to have the ability to log into both whenever you want to. You log into the app, 2 a.m., go into it, see what's going on. And then, you know, it's going to be something that people can go to that, like I said, they can't get out to Canada. They can't go, or for whatever reason, they really are interested in the subject and they just want to say what's happening in the woods, because this, and this is just my perspective, you really have to go out there to really make your own like call on this. But my experiences out there is there's a lot of activity. And I know Todd's been in that area for somewhere between 10 and 15 years. And he's, most expeditioners I've known have seen, heard, felt, seen evidence, seen tree bakes, seen the prints, had activity inside the base camp or around the base camp. So I'd say like 80% of the activity just is centered around where you're actually staying there, in my opinion. I think Todd's opinion would be the same. So to me, it's like they're coming in just to check people out.
Right.
And they've never had a problem doing it, right? And so I know the stigma is, you know, put cameras up, they'll never come around, but they always come around. So I think we're putting these up with the intent that we want people to be part of the discovery and be able to do it. And that was my train of thought here. So part of the discovery, and then, you know, we want to like discover Bigfoot. Like, no, you know, it's either 50-50 with people. You think Todd's legitimate, or the other half people think he's, you know, full of it. Right. So I'm on the first half and there's a lot of people on the other half, and if people don't think his video is real. If we can capture something, on this 24/7 live stream, then, you know, that'll, if it looks like his Bigfoots that he's captured, that'll pretty much definitely say it is, right? Or if it looks different, well, you know, maybe it will look a little different.
Let me play the devil's advocate here. Let me take the stance of somebody who doesn't necessarily believe that Todd's evidence is real. So you're going to put out two cameras. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I'm going to start with two.
North and south. What is, if any, your safeguards to keep somebody from hoaxing a passerby? Or if, because the collaboration is with Todd and his reputation is so 180 from one end to the other, are you prepared to deal with people saying, that Standing's involved with this and that, it looks just like the damn Muppet that he took a picture of, that's not real?
You know, It is what it is. I think even with footage, there are going to be some people that say it's fake. So I, from my standpoint, I'm going to have the entire start to finish. If something is captured when it came in the frame and when it left the frame, and it's going to be there, and not going to be manipulated, and I'm going to have that, and it's going to be pretty much saved. So I'm going to save probably 2 months worth of data on the back end. So basically 24 by 7 times 60, that much data on my back end before I start archiving it. So, you know, if people think, oh, we're just trying to get some guy in a suit out there and run across the camera, that's really not the case at all. Like, I mean, that's going to be totally not what we're in this for. It's right. For, we know.
Well, and again, I was only playing the devil's advocate, because you know, those people out there. Are these cameras, you know, like, cause you said moments ago, you said you don't want the cameras to pan and follow, you know, passersby, because there's investigators or researchers or enthusiasts that are out in that area at times through the year. Are you taking steps to make sure that these cameras are not easily detectable? You know, are they going to be hidden or just camouflaged in a way that 99% of the people that would walk by there aren't going to notice them anyway?
We're going to do our best to do that. It's probably going to end up putting it into some kind of tree, most likely. I haven't decided where exactly the best spot for these are, just because I'm not there right now. I mean, I have an idea, but when I get there, we'll kind of make those indecisions. But it's, they're not small cameras. So, I mean, anyone, honestly, that's really looking for it, it's not like it's Where's Waldo, you know, like it's like a 5 pound camera. Like, this thing isn't not to be played with, to be fair with you. So it's, we're going to, you know, paint and maybe put some foliage around it, but I mean, it's there to be there. And we're going to put it out with the intent. I mean, Todd's, I kind of agree with it too. Todd's all about intent. Like, we're not putting this out with the intent to be any kind of, you know, let's go kill a Bigfoot, or let's like, you know, do something nefarious. Like, we're doing it with the intent to prove the discovery that these creatures, these people are real, and then, you know, go from there. Right. It's, you know, we still have to prove it. And to me, I know everyone says it's DNA or a body, but I think we should start with a video. with the video, so we can get more people out there to get DNA and a buddy, you know.
I agree with that. I had a conversation with a friend of mine once about Scott Tompkins, who is there in Texas with you, the guy who created the Bigfoot Mapping Project app, and you know, I suggested that he talk to him, and because Scott's a great guy, and I mean, super personable and full of a ton of information. And he didn't want anything to do with him because he was not aware of Scott's stance, whether he was pro kill or pro life for these creatures. And Scott's very much pro no kill. In fact, to the point where there's a latency between when he gets a new report that he adds to the Bigfoot Mapping Project, so that it's not uploaded and available to the public immediately, so that it could put somebody on a very fresh trail or a very fresh sighting. So, you know, people who were interested in getting a body would be able to be on the scent or on the trail of something that was very fresh sighting. So I agree with that. I understand science requires that. and I understand the logistics behind that, but I disagree with it because my personal belief is that these things are a much closer relation to us than to just a dumb animal. So.
Yeah, for sure. I'm in the same boat as you. I think I would lean towards more of a people, and I'm not for killing anyone. So
yeah.
I'm all about proving and protecting more than like proving and dissecting. How's that? So.
Yeah. For some reason, whenever that conversation comes up and it's, I guess it's kind of prudent right now because, the newest, effort in the new, reboot of the Planet of the Apes has just come out in theaters. But I mean, that was always something that like in the original Planet of the Apes, when I was, probably 10 or younger, the first time that I saw the original, that was, the apes were taking the humans who were mute at that point, and they were dissecting them and they were doing experiments on them. And, they would think nothing of putting a human on a slab for science, and that affected me. As funny as that is, that affected me as a kid because I was like, man, that's wrong. Why would they be doing that? I understand it now as an adult, but whenever that discussion comes up, I always go back in my head. I always go back to the original Planet of the Apes and how the apes were treating humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that being said, so the functionality of the app is going to be simplistic, right? You're going to have two live streams. It'll be kind of like logging in. You're going to log into the live stream. Let's say we'll call it live stream north and live stream south. We'll just have two buttons. Click on one. You can make it a full screen. When you undo the full screen, you hit a button and you can do like, if you actually see something, you can report a sighting, right? So it goes into a load. That sighting, basically you can put a description in there, op center, such and such, and you put a time in. And it auto generates what camera it's coming from, depending on which camera you were clicking from to begin with. And that all goes to a back-end real-time database, a NoSQL database, that's part of the infrastructure, and it's real-time, right? So when that happens, the user gets logged, I get that information. I can share it with whoever, I share it with the collaboration I can do. And then whoever reported it, I'll get back to them because I have their email and I'll say, hey, we're looking at this. People, again, anyone can screenshot. Like I'm not going to Netflix it to where you can't screenshot stuff. I don't care if people take, screenshots or whatever, or, I'm going back and forth on putting that functionality of, recording 30 seconds back or whatever. I don't know if it'll be super helpful. I'm going to have, like I said, the content's going to be on the back end for 60 days minimum to start with. So if you report something, I'll be able to find it. If you find it, I'm not about taking credit for things. I'll be like, this person found this and did it. And, if it's a real discovery, we'll name it after whoever did it, right? I want people to be part of it. Like I want people to actually like join in and try to help discover, these people.
I think it's a great idea because the more eyes you have on something, right, the more perspectives you have, the more, what someone may not notice something, somebody else may notice something. I like the idea behind it, especially giving what you said earlier with holding on to 60 days worth of video before you archive it. If somebody does screenshot and make a report, the interesting thing I think about this is where everybody is so used to bitching and moaning and complaining about TikTok videos or reels or shorts, because everything is edited down to, you know, there's the picture of the Bigfoot face, and there's nothing leading up to and nothing after the fact, you know, and that seems to be a sticking point with a lot of people. Well, what about the footage beforehand, and what about the footage afterhand? Well, you're actually going to be in possession of all of the footage prior to and post sighting, if there is one, correct?
Yes. So, and again, I'm not, if someone reaches out into our, I put like a whole almost business to this, but like my email address that I created for this application and says, hey, would you feel, you know, comfortable sending me, you know, midnight to 2 a.m. of this, right? I can set a permission on the back end and send it to them, send them a hard link to that. And it's not going to be difficult for me to send them something like that, and they can do it themselves. If they want to go back 2 hours, if someone's really into it and they're like, man, I really thought I saw something, I'd like to look at this, like, I can literally send that to them. And, you know, I'd probably be looking as well. But I mean, I just like that capability. Like, everything is super scalable about as far as what I built. It can support, like, it auto scales. So technically, it could probably support 50,000, 100,000 people viewing this thing at one time. I haven't tested that theory because I don't have the user base yet, but technically, it should be able to do that.
So within the app, will there be a place that recent captures or captures of up until, you know, like, say I purchase the app and I get it loaded on my iPhone and I start utilizing it tomorrow, will there be a section within the app that will have previously caught footage that is accessible? So I could go back and I can look at, you know, Joe Blow on December 23rd, 2023 reported this, and here is the block of footage that he says he saw something in.
And that's what I want to get to. Like, once we get it going and people start doing sightings, like, mm-hmm. I can make a whole new just page just for, here's the, I'll just probably embed a link to it because it's just not worth making a bunch of video players on top of the app, but embed a link to, you know, and then let people go and watch it, right? Like, what do you think about it? Like, is this legitimate, right? I mean, I'm really hoping for, like, you know, up close and personal, to be honest, but I know technically you probably could get something that's 1,500 feet away and it could be something, right? So having everyone's opinion on something isn't a bad thing. So I think what you're saying is what I'm striving for, is collaboration with other people, like open-minded, you know, I can share the details of everybody's sighting, but I think, you know, it might get to the point where people are probably putting in, you know, if they get late, if they, you know, want a joke, they'll put in some kind of joke in where everyone can see it, and, you know, not going to be like productive. Right. So it has to be controlled a little bit.
Yeah, but, definitely. You know, you'll have the errant person that goes in there and has a bit of fuckery on their brain and
just to log in and pay, like, do this subscription. And I will say it is I'm doing this basically just because I have a passion for it, but there is cost. I spent eight months like developing this thing and through writing out the code, writing out the infrastructure as code, writing out the application, buying all the equipment, helping Todd plan power, helping Todd do some other stuff with this, trying to, like, I've spent, I don't know, 1,000 man hours of my time doing this, right? And to keep it going, it will have costs. I think I've managed to make the cost, at least for right now, proof of concept, like, maintainable, right? It's not going to break my bank, right? But going forward, if everyone really appreciates it and wants to do it and, like, subscribes, and I don't want to make the subscription super expensive either. Like I was chatting with you earlier, I wanted to make everyone available to it. So So I really don't know. I haven't really set the exact price point, but it's going to be, you know, it's going to be less than $9 or somewhere between $5 and $8 was where I'm tinkering with in my head. I think for what it is and what it's worth, I think that's reasonable. If people think it needs to be like $1.99 or something, you know, I could entertain that as long as we can get a lot of people doing it.
Right.
So I can make it affordable as long as a lot of people subscribe and do it. But, you know, even if we don't get anyone and people hate it, you know, I think long term, you know, we can still use it to, you know, discover Bigfoot with. Like, I'm still going to keep it going. I might cut it, the infrastructure down a little bit so it's a little more maintainable, but I really want it to, like, be something that's, you know, well taken by the community, one, and to people to know that I'm not really doing this just to make an app to make $5 off of people. I'm really doing it because, you know, I really do believe there's stuff going out there in that area, one, and I really do believe Bigfoot is a real, I guess you could call them a people, right? So to me, there's so many people that are into Bigfoot. I don't know why. To me, this is nothing but good ideas. Like, right. Nobody, and like, I know you and me talked a little bit, and some people have maybe done something similar. Mm-hmm. I just don't know of those people. So if someone's doing this already, that's great. I just don't know about it. All the people, the mainstream podcasters I listen to, the Bigfoot groups, the BFRO people, I don't think they're doing this, right? I think they're either boots on the ground, weekend people, you know, maybe they don't really know how to get into the weeds with it. So I'm trying to get into the weeds with it so I can bring it to everybody.
Well, we touched on this a little earlier, and, you know, the natural discussion that follows when somebody brings up, did you put a camera up? Oh, they're afraid of cameras, or they know cameras are there and they stay away from cameras. Do we know that? I don't think we know that. I think we make an assumption. And I think that because evidence is so far and few between, as far as photographic evidence goes, and as far as trail cams go, I think that people have just made an assessment or an assumption that they must know cameras are there. You know, so the fact that you're deciding to put cameras up at now, here's the difference that I don't know if, you know, hopefully the listeners are paying attention to what you're saying, because you could take a camera and you could take it out into the middle of this wilderness and you could just pick a tree and put it up. And you may never see anything other than a bear or a bird fly by, or, you know, but you're putting it up in a place that most people would say don't make sense. And that's because you're going to be putting it close to where you guys have had multiple experiences at your base camp, because they're coming there to view you.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, We're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
When you go out into the forest, into the woods, you're in their part of the world. And they can stay as far away from you as they want. But if they're attracted to you and they're attracted to what you're doing and why you're there, it stands to reason that you probably have a much better chance of catching something, putting the camera placement where you are versus just picking a tree out in the middle of the woods and hoping you plotted the GPS right so you can go back and get it back one day.
Yeah, and I think I'm kind of with Todd on this, and people can disagree for what they want, but I really do think that they're pretty good at like seeing the tracks and what the trackways are and where people have been. And if they see some evidence and some twigs and they're really good trackers and they know that you're putting something up on this tree, most likely they're going to stay away from it, right? It's just, if they're that good and they're that in tune with their environment, like, it makes sense. Like, so I would agree with Todd on that aspect of a lot of people are putting it up for the wrong, like, bad intent. Maybe they are more in tune with higher senses and they understand, like, you have the intent of, you know, being deceitful when you're putting these cameras up, or, and they can see your trackway and they know exactly where it is and they don't want nothing to do with it, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm putting it up with the intent of, you know, discovery, protection, and getting the job done, in my opinion, because no one's done it yet. And I really, really just love the subject. And I think this area of all areas, and this is me just because I've been out there, people can disagree, I think it's a really good placement. Middle of mountains and radium where there's a lot of activity, a lot of reports. I have no expeditioner that I've talked to that's had a negative experience out there that I've talked to personally. I know most of them that have been out there. So
negative in the way of negative is a
like,
negative.
Oh, I didn't see nothing. I think Todd's full of it, right?
Oh, okay.
Most of them have some type of, like, they hear something, they see something, they feel something, right?
I got you.
In some aspect where they see the evidence, like, you know, it's not like the second time I went out there, I didn't really have any interaction, to be honest, right? And that was okay to me because I had a good time. I still saw a bunch of evidence and I enjoy the subject. The next time I had a ton of stuff happen to me. So, you know, I think it's a good idea. I don't, I think what all, the, there's a lot of organizations of people doing stuff. And I think the chance of just plowing through the woods with a group of 10 people spread out in a pattern, I don't know if that's going to get anything, right? I think if you're coming out with the intent of them coming out to interact with you and you're putting cameras up to show the world that they're real, maybe you'll get a better response. And heck, you know, if we don't, at least we said, hey, we at least tried to put the cameras up. Everyone bitches about it. We at least tried. No one else is trying. You know, let's do something different. You know, they want to move the ball up the field. That's what I'm trying to do. Right. Yeah. So I don't know. I think, and this is, you know, I'm biased, of course, because I'm trying to get this thing going, but I really think it's a good idea. Like, if anything, I think it'll revolutionize things. We could actually build a framework off of this other people could use, right? Like, if it gets something, you know, I'm not for not sharing how to do it. Like I said, I want the discovery. If someone wants to know how I did it, I will tell them how I did it. Right? If they make a competing app that's better than mine, whatever. I don't care. At least that was the first person that did it.
Or this could blossom into a collaborative effort where your app is almost franchised and that you have, you know, and the reason I say this, and it, forgive me if it sounded silly, but, you know, you could have the Canadian, you know, the BC area, and then you could have, you know, someone in the Pacific Northwest who is, you know, decided to do it in a specific region of Oregon, or, you know, there, and they could all end up tying together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I thought too. Like, let's start small. Let's just do two. Let's grow this thing. We can put more out there. We can get more infrastructure. We can get more power. We're using Starlink because that's really the only thing that's that you can do out there. I don't know if maybe there's some military grade stuff that's better, right? I just don't know of anything that's commercialized as far as internet in the middle of the woods that's better than Starlink. So if someone knows listening to this, I could tell me, that'd be super. but yeah, it's a framework. I want to build it and I want to expand on it. And I have lots of other ideas that I can do with it. I just need to get, version one going, and then I'm going to build off of it and go to version two and three. Because I mean, I have other ideas. Like we could even do when no one's there, we can play, like the Sierra sound once a day or something and see if something happens, right? Yeah. Like you can remotely try to interact when you're not there. That might be pushing it. I don't know, but I think it's a decent idea. We could remotely fly drones. The military does it. That could be a live feed twice a day of a drone flying up, right. Scouting the area, patrol, come down, and that could be part of, the app itself, right? You want to watch the drone's going to go up at 9 o'clock at night and fly for 10, 15 minutes. And if you want to watch it and see if you can see anything, eventually it's going to be 5 years from now, thermal and everything else is going to be a lot cheaper. It's going to be more consumable. We could do that, right?
Yeah, a drone, especially if you have thermal on there and you take it up at night or in the evening, dusk, and get a heat signature, that would be awesome.
Yeah, and Todd has a pretty high-end drone that he bought. I know it cost him over $10,000 to get it. And he really was optimistic about that being a really pivotal technology to help them with the discovery. The problem with it is everything has heat, all right? And it can only do it a certain type of the day where it's not camouflaged. And he did get a lot of good footage as far as wildlife, but every time he's tried, it's very hard to see through that foliage, like the trees. You can tell the heat signature, like his drone is really, it's an awesome drone. Like you can tell an animal, but the problem is, even though this thing is worth over $10,000 and it's like the newest technology that's pretty much commercialized, that's affordable to people, it's still freaking loud. Like,
yeah,
it's 400 feet in the air and I can hear it. And it's
that's what's amazing to me about people who are witnessing unusual movement of lights in the sky. How many people still go back to, oh, that's got to be a drone. That's got to be a drone. It's a drone. Drones. Now, the military may have some whisper technology on the drones that they use, but anything that's commercially available to people within our purchasing power, drones make a lot of noise.
It's like a high hum, too. So if I'm an intelligent, whatever you want to call it, Bigfoot out in the woods, and I hear a high hum above me, I'm not going to go walk out and look up and try to get in the field and see what it is. I'm going to hide under a tree until it leaves, right? So right. I just don't know that the drone's the answer. I think it's a good but until we have amazing drones that are like bugs that are thermal and 10K and dip diving through trees and stuff, I just don't know if it's going to get us anywhere. That being said, I have other ideas. There's tons of stuff that we can go in version 2, 3, and 4 with. I just want to start with, let's do the live streams. Let's see if we can get anything that way. And we'll just build on top of it. I'll put extra content on the app as far as when people are out there, what they're experiencing, because a lot of people, they go out there, they don't want to share their experience like on YouTube, right? But, if if I can get people to want to do that and share their experiences, I can put that on the app as well. And like say, well, this is what happened this week. This is what happened this week. Here's a video of this guy and what happened to him. Cause Todd does a good job of like talking about Bigfoot and like what he thinks it is and what he thinks is going to get to discovery. And he's getting very much spiritual, like I think I said last time. So
yeah,
he does a good job of that. But nothing against Todd, but he's not a super organized person. I think to be scientific and to collect data and to do some of these things, like the first time I went out with him, I'm like, man, you really need a grid system out here. And you need to, like, every time you see something, like have a, like a GPS locator of where it is. And you, anyway, that's just not him though. Like he kind of feels his way through stuff. He's a documentarian. He wants to do the discovery and he's really good at what he does. But if you ever go out with him, he's not organized. Right. And I'll tell that to his face. He's not, he knows it. And a guy went out with him that I don't remember if I told you this, but he's like a guy that does like a CGI kind of a guy. Because from that guy's opinion, he doesn't think Todd could have faked it because he's in the industry. And he went out with him and he's watching Todd like try to fix something on his truck for a couple hours, like broken tire or something. And he's watching him. He's throwing tools all over the ground. He's like screaming on the inside because he literally left tools on the ground. He forgot about them. He's like, oh, my God, you were so disorganized. Like, how can people think that you could make a huge million-dollar Muppet mask? He's like, that is not how people work in this industry. You have to be like super meticulous. So I just think it's funny. I think if we can get it going and keep build, I'm going to try to build on top of it and I'm going to ask people for help. I'm going to try to grow it. I'm open to opinions. If people think of a good idea, we can put it into it. I want to start with that. And I just want people to know that it's going to be out there. I'm planning on hopefully going out there at the very end of May this month and putting up the equipment and setting up the connecting it all to the power, getting it all going on the grid out there. The back end and the app and everything is going to be ready. So once I get it going and it boom talks to the satellite, it'll start sending the feed. So I'm going to try to release the app. I might release it a little early where it's not showing the video yet just to get it out there and then have like a disclaimer on there that says it'll be up like X day or, you know, and like I said, it's variable. I'm trying to go out there end of May, but I also would just want to get it out there and so people can just know it's there and go check it out. So,
right.
Yeah. So it's going to be called. And again, I'm not being super creative with this. I'm using Todd's methodology, but I really like the name, Discovering Bigfoot, off his documentary. So again, when people log in, it's to join the discovery, to discover Bigfoot. So I've always liked that title. Like, let's discover this together, right? So, it's a labor of love for me. Like I said, Todd's good at what he does. I just want to have people have a sense of, you know, this guy, and again, believe what you want to believe, but this guy is legitimate in my opinion. And I think this is a very good proof of concept to try to get like the ball moving.
Well, I think it's a great idea. I think giving your members, some ability to screen capture is a great way to garner interest. Because there are going to be those people who are going to spend hours in front of those cameras.
Yeah.
You know, and just for that chance. And, you know, if you make it where people's captures can be viewed by other people coming into the community, And I think that's a, I think it's a great idea. You touched on it, I think, before we started recording. You know, this could be, this could garner this generation's Patterson-Gimlin film.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Like, I don't, I think it could. That'd be great if it did. I'm not saying it's going to, but that would be awesome.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I mean, you know, you said Todd has put forth a decent effort as far as securing the solar power to run the system. You're using Starlink, which has proven to be a relatively cost effective and very good.
I'd say it's pretty reliable. Like, as far as there shouldn't be a lot of blips in the system. And the good thing about Starlink is I can buy as many as I need, right? I don't need just one system out there. I can buy four. Like, if people really want to utilize this thing, I can expand as much as I want to. The cap is if people really want like super HD 4K high quality video at 60 frames a second, that's when it starts getting expensive, because I have to push a lot of upload megabytes per second to do that. So these cameras have really high functionality, but I happen to, again, bring it down a little bit just because this is the start. If I start really high, it's going to cost twice as much, right? So I'm doing like 1080p, like standard definition. It's really good quality. But I could actually up the quality just by hitting a button to 4K. You get way better quality. But the problem is I'm going to be uploading like 5 terabytes a month doing that, right? So Starlink has a cap. I think you can get, I know they have a 1, 2, 3, 4 type of package, but I'll have to buy more and more Starlinks to actually utilize like a lot of that really super crystal clear functionality. So I'm all for turning it on. I just I want to start more of the infrastructure to be not to drain me and me just quit. I want it to work, right? So, you know, if we can get a lot of people that want to subscribe and do this, I'll put on there. I'm like, if we can get to this number, I'll turn it up to 4K, right? And then boom, it looks even better, right? And then we'll add more cameras and more Starlinks and more power. I mean, it's not cheap. To be honest, it's not cheap to buy this stuff. I put a lot of, like I said, a lot of money and time into it. It's not cheap to buy solar. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm eating it, so I want it to be productive.
I think it's going to be I think it'll be a popular thing. I mean, you know, keeping the price to, you know, about what it costs to buy a hamburger once a month. I think, you know, if you crunch the numbers and with X number of people subscribing to it, that can sustain the system, where it's not a draw on you, monthly. You know, it is because I think you need to start looking, you know, the likelihood of who can actually get out into the woods. I can get out into the woods here in Michigan or in Indiana, but I can't get up into the woods in British Columbia. That is out of my financial reach. You know, there are other things that I would allocate that money instead of jumping on a plane and then paying Todd whatever his fee is to take me out 50 miles into Radium to have these experiences. So even though, you know, this doesn't really take the place of having a personal experience, it still puts you in the same place and gives you the opportunity to possibly catch some evidence along the way.
Yeah, and people will know when there's going to be people out there, expeditioners. So when there's people out there, it's more likely that, you know, they're going to be around. And most of the time out there, like I like to stay up. Like sometimes I can't sleep out there when I'm out there. So I'll try to stay up to like 1 or 2 in the morning. But, you know, you get kind of tired and hosed and you pass out. So I need someone to like between the hours 1 and 6 in the morning, I need someone to watch those cameras, right? To see if something's happening. I want to see if they're banging, you know, they've come up to the RVs that most people are sleeping in. And like banged on the end when I was in there, they like hit the end. And then when Todd was in there last year, like they literally lifted it up and dropped it. Right. Like if I can get that on camera, like game over. Right. Like how are you going to prove that Hercules dropped picked that trailer up? You know, it's I think it's win-win for everybody. I think I'm doing it for the right intention. And I think, it's something that's scalable and growable, and you know, no offense to any other researcher, whatever they're doing is really important. I think I've learned a lot out of what people are doing and troubleshooting and trial and error, just listening to other people and their thoughts. So I still think boots on the ground is really good. I think what people are doing as far as research is really good. I'm just trying to scale it quicker and have more people and more eyes and, you know, do something different
and become innovative, because, you know, I mean, if you're listening and you do any kind of boots on the ground investigating, how many times do you go out and do the same thing every time you go out? Are you, you know, smacking a tree with a piece of hardwood? Are you, you know, doing whoops? Are you doing calls? Are you blasting the Sierra sounds? You know, I mean, those things are all valid, but when there's a new idea and somebody who is pushing the envelope into a different area that we haven't done before, I think it's got every bit of the same right to be a part of the research that's going on. And nobody should be mad about it. I mean, if everybody's goal is to provide discovery about these things, then why would anybody be upset that, you know, somebody's going off in a new direction? It either pans out and you keep doing it, or it doesn't pan out and you stop doing it and you wait till the next good idea that comes up.
In my opinion, this is again just my opinion, only people that I would say that would be negative about it are the people with the big egos that only want the discovery to put their name on it. Right. Mm-hmm. So I don't have an ego with it. I just want the discovery, you know. I don't care. Todd can take it for all I care. He called it the Todd standing footage again. I don't care. I'm the guy in the back that's trying to get it done. I don't need credibility. I don't need any of that. I just want it to work.
I will be very interested in how long once you launch and the first reasonable piece of evidence that's going to make somebody go, what the hell was that? Not definitively a Bigfoot, but really strange, and what is it? I wonder how long it's going to take before a certain organization starts beating on your door and wanting your database. Because I think that'll happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a data guy. I've worked with databases, so I'm not going to deny anybody access to data. So, I mean, if somebody wants it, I'll give it to them. Nothing's proprietary as far as any of this discovery stuff goes. But, I mean, I can't say I like some of the BFRO stuff. I don't really care for some of their methodology, and I don't.
I'm shocked that you thought that that's who I was talking about.
I don't want to talk bad about people, but they're just not, it's not for me. But you know, there's a lot of good, you know, like with anything, there's good people in an organization and there's bad. So it is what it is. You know, if I just hope it's something people enjoy, and, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm open to feedback. My email is going to be right dead center in the app when you log in. So it'll be contact@ BigfootLivestream.org. So, you know, send me an email. Go ahead and send me an email now if somebody's, whenever you release this footage, or sorry, the audio and the video here, mm-hmm. you know, if anyone wants to contact me, please feel free to. If someone has a good idea, I'm really open to good ideas. Like I said, I've dreamt this for like the last 8 months, so I'm good at architecture, but I'm never the person that says I know it all. So, you know, there's always good ideas.
Now, did you say that there is, there's a link to a video, as far as, you know, about what the app's going to look like or how it's going to operate?
Yeah, I'm going to make you, a video and share it, like a G Drive share for you.
Okay.
And I'll,
because I'd like to, if there, if we can,
send it to you, but.
I'm sorry. If there's a link that I can put in the show notes so that people can actually go and click on it and view it themselves.
Yeah. I'll send it to you. I'll send you a link. It's going to, since the videos, I mean, I could post it to YouTube or something. I just, problem is the format of it. It's like it's a video of an emulation, right? So it's in development, right?
Right.
So it's just easier to share it on a drive share, and you click on it and it opens up a player on your phone. That's going to be the easiest way to do it on a phone. If I send you the link and someone's trying to do it on a Chrome browser, you might have to download an extension for it. You can Google it. You can look at the .dot format of the video and Google it and find it in 5 seconds. If you're proficient at trying to fix those problems.
Well, what about just some screenshots of how it's going to look? Can you provide just a couple of screenshots so I can upload that with the show?
Yeah, I'll send that to you. Like I said, the footage might be screenshots of my backyard. So don't nobody judge me on the screenshots because they're not in Canada yet. And yeah. I have to do testing, and they need I need to be at least 100 feet from these cameras just for latency. So really doing a lot of testing in my office, in my backyard, and just around random places. So, so don't think the screenshots are the wilderness, because they're not. I live in Texas in the suburbia, right? So I'll just preface it with that.
Well, you send me what you have that I can post along with the show when I upload it, and make sure that you let everybody know that email again, if they want to get a hold of you and contact you about it.
Yeah, it's contact@bigfootlivestream.org.
Okay. I think it's a great idea. We talked before we started recording. There was a gentleman I had on the show not too long ago who some time back had done a very similar type thing as far as a dog man project, but he ran into some significant problems, and it was more with the researchers that were going to be benefiting from the results of the cameras. So he just said screw it and he shut it down. Apparently there was some evidence caught you know, because there were people who literally would get home from work after a third shift and they would go on and they would look at these cameras out in the middle of Louisiana in the bayou and, you know, just look for evidence. So, I think it's a great idea. I think those people are out there. It would interest the hell out of me to just simply be able to see that area because we've heard so much about it, from Todd's documentary and a lot of the other things. I think it's a great idea.
I'm glad you do. I respect your opinion, Eric. So, I love your podcast. I honestly, you're the first guy I got in touch with. So,
well, I appreciate that.
I want to go on Eric's show and see if I can, get people to get on board with it, and we'll just move from there. You know,
I would be shocked. I would be shocked if there's no interest. It would surprise me a lot if there was no interest in this.
I hope so, right?
Everybody wants to be a, what do we call them, citizen scientist, you know, or a civilian scientist. But the reality is, with as busy as life is, and if you are not located near an area that you could easily get off into the woods and go do your own boots on the ground investigating, what better way than to be able to hop on a high quality camera in the middle of a known hotspot and spend some time watching? I mean,
yeah. And I've heard people talk about, so I'm in Texas and I know I joined some Facebook group and there was like 10,000 people on it. It's like, I can't believe there's so many people in Texas that are into Bigfoot and I don't ever hear anything, but I haven't really seen anything on that group that's like anyone's posted that's like really good or, you know, something that to dive into, to be able, right, to be fair. But no, there's some area called Area X, that people are working in. So honestly, I'd love to build contacts with some of these people because I don't know who they are. I can try to go set this up for them. I mean, like I said, there is cost to it, but I already have the framework. So the time and energy is already spent. So they just have to put a little cost up and I could help them do it, you know? Yeah.
I do have somebody, that I can hook you up with. They're the Big Thicket, mm-hmm, is their area of research, on a regular basis. I don't know where you are in location to that.
I think, but, I talked to those guys. What's his name again?
Parsons, Todd Parsons.
I reached out to him. I just haven't been able to connect with him. I know he's like the forest around Houston area. Mm-hmm. I think, which is probably 4 or 5 hours for me. I was going to try to go meet up with them. And then, my son just has a few medical issues that we're working through, so I wasn't able to do it. But, collaboration and people reaching out to me, legitimate people, not just people that are just screwing around. But, you know, I'd love to talk to people in the area. In Texas, I think most people own most of the land. Texas is so big, I don't know it all, but at least where I am, I'd probably have to get permission for someone to come on the property and do anything. I know there's some general areas around here that I've heard people talk about where they've had experiences, but, you know, I just don't want to go up to a random person and say, hey, can I come on your property? It's just not a very Texan thing to do because, you know, we kind of shoot first and ask questions later.
And I would almost suggest, or not almost, I would suggest, if you were interested, having me put you in touch with Scott Tompkins, the guy who runs the Bigfoot Mapping Project. It sounds to me, it sounds like you guys would have some common ground, because I know in his app, he's utilizing some kind of cameras that are placed. I don't want to misspeak, but the
I get it.
Access to cameras that are currently out there. So, you know, that might be something that you could entertain adding to your system, or, but I'll get his information to you and, let him know that he should talk to you.
I think I've heard you talk to him. Like I thought he was doing pretty cool. So that'd be awesome.
Really, really excited to have him. He's going to be one of the speakers at Bigfoot and Brews this year. This will be his first appearance as a speaker, as a presenter at a conference, and I'm really excited for him, because he's a great guy, and I think he's gonna come. I think he's gonna bring a lot of stuff with him. So that'll be a great addition to the show this year.
Yep. I think that guy's pretty solid. I like that guy. That's pretty much all I have. I'm gonna go. Like I said, I'll be up there hopefully within the next 2 weeks getting this set up. I'm not sure when you're gonna release this, but I mean, it doesn't matter to me. But I'm full fledged forward gonna release it. So the only other time I'm going back up there, middle of September for like a week, just to do my own thing and not be about like stressed out about getting things going and just enjoying myself, right?
Right.
But other than that, I don't really have any expeditions or anything planned. But you know, I'd love for people to and give me some ideas on things, especially if they're more local,
right?
Texas, that's more communicable, but.
Well, Logan, as usual, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I've enjoyed each of our interactions, whether it be through email or through our interviews. I really hope that this takes off for you. I think that it will. It makes sense that people would have interest in this. So we're going to do everything we can do to get it out in front of people for you and generate that interest. So I'll probably hopscotch you over a couple of other episodes that I already had in the can, just to get this out, because your desire to release this here in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'll accommodate that and try to get this out, so people are hearing about it quicker than later.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I appreciate it. Also, my sister loves your show. So I have to say, her name is Christina. So, hey, Chrissy.
Hey, Chrissy.
She loves listening to your podcast.
I'm thrilled to hear that, man. I'm glad that you're with us and part of the community. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I was going to do it the first time. She's like, you said your sister, you didn't even say my name. So, man, Chrissy, there you go.
All right, Chrissy. It's official now, Chrissy.
Yep.
All right, my friend. It's been great talking to you. Fantastic idea. I think it's going to take off for you. And like I said, we're going to do everything we can do to get out in front of people. And I'll hook you up with a couple of guys that maybe can help facilitate that as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was great talking to you, Eric. I appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, sir. All right. Good night.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.